just have one question for Brother Scott. If you, when you forget it, you can blame it on a senior moment. What do you do when you're not that old yet and you do that? Just have a bad memory. That's why you're in trouble. Tonight, we're going to conclude our discussion tonight about charitable deeds. And we're going to talk mainly tonight about our individual charity, our individual responsibility. As an individual, we have the right to do charity, to demonstrate to others who are less fortunate than us. And individual charity is not limited to church contribution. When I put my money in the collection plate on the first day of the week, that does not relieve me of my duty and responsibility as an individual to help those who are less fortunate than me. As I told you this morning, the church does have a role to play in this, but it is not as large as people today want to make it. I don't know if many of you remember when President Bush was our president, he made it a real point that he wanted to try to get religious organizations, he called them free will, free offering based organizations, to do more in helping the poor and helping those that are in need. Well, I understand, in all due respect, I understand President Bush's understanding, but his concept of the role of the church is incorrect. The role of the church is spiritual. Its main focus is spiritual. And so the main work of the church is to do spiritual work. So far as charity on a grand scale, that's not the work of the church. That's the work of individuals. We also see that it's not limited to brethren. Now, the church, it can only help those of its own. In the Bible, in the examples we have in the New Testament, there are 9 separate examples of the church taking money out of the treasury to help those who are in need. In all 9 cases, they were saints. They were brethren. They were people within the body of Christ. We have the responsibility of taking care of our own. That is our God-given duty. But, as an individual, it's not limited to us as brethren. We can help those outside. We can help those who are not even Christians as an individual. We can make those judgments. The church has no right to do that. In Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, "Do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith." Now, many of our institutional friends have made a great misunderstanding of James chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 6, and they make this individual responsibility the church's responsibility. No, brethren, the Bible makes a distinction between what is the church's responsibility and what our responsibility is as an individual. And when you get those two things confused, that's when you get into an authority issue. That's when you get into a problem of adding to the scriptures and doing more than what the scripture says. It is not limited to money. Brother, you could do a lot of good for people and not give them a cent. Sometimes you can give them of your time. Sometimes you can give them wise counsel when they're having a difficult time. Sometimes you can give of your time and your talent to help someone who is in need. You may be a contractor, you may be a builder, you may be real handy with doing things, and you could go over and help someone. You could help a neighbor, you could help a friend. You could find out somebody had a natural disaster, destroy their home, and you could offer your time free to go out and help clean up and to rebuild. It doesn't have to be money. It can be anything that is an expression of love and mercy and compassion to someone that has need. It is not limited to money. In Acts chapter 3, they sold land. They sold land and they laid it at the apostles' feet, the proceeds, in order to help those in Jerusalem that were in need. And it's not limited to the rich. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Paul commends these brethren in Corinth that even though they had great poverty, they reached in among themselves and did things even though they were poor themselves to help brethren who were poorer than them. And so it's not limited to the rich. Not only the rich have the duty to give to the poor, to be charitable. Brethren, you don't have to have a lot of money to be charitable. I think the great mistake that's made is that we focus too much on the amount. The amount's not the issue. The issue is whether we are charitable, whether we extend mercy, whether we try to be compassionate. Governed by these principles, doing good may be the opposite of what they want. You know, you've got to give to what the need is. You know, let me give you an illustration. Someone may come to me and think that they need one thing, but because of their inadequacy to do certain things that might make it better for them. Now, I'll give you a biblical illustration. When I was in Las Vegas, we had a couple who was always seeming to be in need. They always needed they were always coming to church on a pretty regular basis in order to have a need. They had a need in their life. Well, the elders determined there that what they really needed, they needed help in how to manage their money better. And so what they did, we had a CPA that was a member of the congregation there, and he devoted his time, and he went in with them and taught them how to make a budget. He taught them how to live within their means, and he taught them how to make decisions over what was needed instead of what they wanted. And you know, in a period of a year, they got their finances, they got it in order, and they never had to come to us and ask us for any more money. You see, what they need, they needed help, but they needed help that would last them long term. And so what they needed counseling, how to do what they could with what they had, and to make it go further. Brethren, that's giving of your time. That could be a charitable thing. And it involves nothing with money. It involves giving of your time and your talent. And so, again, these are principles that we are governed by. But charity is a individual judgment. The text says to take heed. What does that mean? Take heed. That means literally to ask us to hold our minds on the matter. Give it careful consideration. When you're helping other people, you need to give it some thought. You need to make sure that you're making the best judgment that you can, and you need to understand whether or not you're really helping. Brethren, if you give something to someone that really doesn't change the problem that they're incurring, you haven't really helped them. You've just put it off temporarily. You need to make some diligent research into what you're doing and why you're doing it. That's why there are certain organizations that I won't give money to. Because I've done a little research and found out there are other religions that are behind the organization, and I'm not going to give my money to that. I also did some research into bigger organizations that take in money, and when I found out how much of the money that I give goes to the actual need, then I quit doing that. If I'm giving $10, and $6.50 is going to the organization, then $3.50 was only going to help the need. That's to me, that's not a wise use of my charity. But you know, I've been blessed. Since I've got involved in the Philippine work, I got plenty of opportunity to do benevolent work. And I know exactly what the need is, I know exactly where it's going, and I can send it directly to the need, and 100% of it's going to be used for the need. And see, I think it's not only right, but I think it's biblical when you do charity work and when you give money to help that you understand what you're getting into and make sure that what you're doing is helping, and it's not just helping an organization, but it's helping the person in need. Why do you do charity? You do charity to help somebody who has a need. But if half the thing that you're giving is going to the organization and not going to the need, then you're not helping as much as you think. You need to do some research. That you do your alms implies acts of kindness that are done as one has opportunity. Brethren, you might have opportunity that I don't have. You may be in a situation to help something because you know of a need that I don't know about. Each of us are going to have opportunity. And what God expects us to do is to react when we have opportunity. And all of us will have opportunity, brother, especially in the country and the world that we live in. The text says not to be seen of men. Our motive makes the action wrong. You can't just put on a performance. You know, you just can't write a check to just let people know that you're very charitable. You know, and this is not a political announcement, and I don't want you to take it that way, but I don't agree with everything of the Republican candidate that's running for president, but one thing that really impressed me is the amount of money that he gives to charity. And he doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want anybody to know about it. You see, it's not, the amount doesn't matter. Sure, he can do it, it won't hurt him. But brother, there's people that got it that won't do it. There's a difference, there's an attitude there. Somebody that wants to do it and doesn't want to talk about it, that's the right motive. He's not doing it so people think what a great person he is. He's doing it because he wants to help, because he has the ability to help. Brethren, that's the attitude that God wants us to have. Otherwise, no reward from the Father. Do we need credit to help? The attitude of willingness to help always? Do we need to have a pat on the back to help? Do we need somebody to tell us what a wonderful person is because we've helped this situation? Brethren, if you need that to do charity, then your heart is not in the right place. You don't have, and you don't do charity so what you get in return. Charity is something that is done out of the need and compassion and mercy for the person that has the need. What's the focus on? It's not on me. It's not on what I've done. It's on helping the need at hand. That must be our motive. That's what God is saying. Our motive must be genuine. It must be to help. And it must be to relieve. It says, do not advertise. Do not advertise your good deed. Is it possible to do good things for corrupt reason? Yes. It is because you could seek self-glory. And if you seek self-glory, that corrupts what you've done. Now, as I said this morning, that doesn't mean you won't help the need. You could help the need, but you didn't help in your relationship with God. Because God doesn't look at it as a charitable act. Because your focus is in the wrong place. Pride, one's ego, is responsible for the problem of self-promotion. Brethren, if what we do is centered on what I receive from it, then you shouldn't do it. Because it's not helping, it's definitely not helping you. Because it's not going to be judged as being charitable. Pride dies only when self is forgotten. Brethren, nobody needs to know what I do with my money. Nobody needs to know how I help others. You know, I don't need to make a list every month that, you know, I gave to this charity, or I helped this person, I helped that. I don't need to do that. I don't need you to know what I'm doing in my charitable work. And I don't need to know what you're doing. That is something that really is between you and God and the person you're helping. And that should be your focus. But when we lift it out of that, and we want people to think of how great and wonderful we are because we help people, then our motive is wrong. And God says that it's not going to profit us, at least not with Him. It says, do not advertise your good deed. Not forbidding doing good while in the sight of others. Now, brethren, you could do something in the sight of others. That doesn't invalidate what you did. You know, if you help somebody and somebody sees you and they commend you for it, that doesn't mean you were doing it for self-glory. That would just be a coincidence, or that could be a situation you find yourself in. That doesn't invalidate it. I think you understand the difference here. Because the difference here is what you're looking to get from it. What are you looking to get from charity? Are you looking that you're able to have the opportunity because you've been blessed to help others who are less fortunate than you? If that should be your motive in helping people. You're glad to help because you have the ability to help. That should be our motive. Striving for godly character that cannot be hidden, in contrast with the hypocrites who seek for merely a reputation for piety. Brethren, if we're looking to get praise and we're looking for self-glory and at the adoration of men, then our heart is in the wrong place. And brethren, understand something. You don't have to have a lot of money and do a lot of charity work to be guilty of this. It has to do with your heart. Do not sound the trumpet. in the in Wiesbe's Bible Exposition, I want to clarify something. I don't use a lot of commentaries. I only use a commentary when it says something better than I can say it. And I like this comment that Mr. Wiesbe said. He said, "Does this mean that it's wrong to give openly? Must all giving be anonymous? Not necessarily. For everyone in the early church knew that Barnabas had given the income for the sale of his land. How did everybody know? We read it. It's recorded that he gave his land, he sold it and gave the proceeds to the apostles and laid it at his feet. That was an openly done thing. Everybody knew that he did it. So that didn't necessarily mean it was wrong. When church members laid their money at the apostles' feet, it was not done in secret. The difference, of course, and here's the point, the difference, of course, was the motive and manner in which it was done. A contrast is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, who tried to use their gift to make people think that they were more spiritual than they really were. Now, do you remember what they did? They sold land just like Barnabas did, and they brought the money, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said that you've not lied to men, you've lied to God. What did they do? They sold a parcel of land, and they gave it the proceeds to the apostles, and they acted like they gave the whole amount. And they only gave part of the amount. But they wanted the eyes of men to think that they had given it all. And so their heart wasn't right. And so God struck Ananias dead. And then 3 hours later, Sapphira, his wife, came in, and she was asked, "Did you sell the land for this much?" And you remember what she said? "Yea, for this much." He says, why have you concocted in your heart, you and your husband, to deceive and to mislead, and those who carried your husband out are waiting at the door to carry you out also? You see, and you remember the argument that Paul used there? While it was your own, could you not do whatever you wanted with it? You didn't have to sell it. That was your choice. And even after you sold it, what you did with the money you got, that was your choice. You didn't have to give it all. Nothing compelled them to give it all. But when they tried to act like they gave it all, they were seeking the prestige of others. And God says, you lied to God. Now, you do remember what happened after that happened? The Bible says in Acts 5 that great fear came upon the church. You see, it wasn't wrong to sell their land. What was wrong was to make it appear that they gave it all, but they only gave part. Do not glory in your charity. Not forbidding us to reflect upon our actions. It's not wrong to reflect on what you did. It's not wrong to be pleased that you've helped another person. Nothing wrong with that. It just says don't dwell on it. But our reflection must delve beyond our actions into the motive for our actions. We might delve on it, but it must be delved into our motive. Why did we do it? Did we do it because we wanted to help? Did we do it out of a sense of that we've been blessed and we've been prospering and we have this ability and we have this opportunity? If that's why we want to do it, then just do it. And do it secretly. Forbidding the attitude of self-righteousness. Remember the two men in the temple praying? Remember the publican and the Pharisee praying in the temple? Remember what he went in and did? He said, "Well, I thank God that I'm not like other men and like this publican here. And that I've done this, I've tithed twice a week, I give this and I give..." You see, he's just giving a laundry list to all the great things that he's done for God as if God ought to be thankful. And what did the publican do? He smote his breast. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You remember what God said? You remember what the Son of God said? He said, "That man went down to his house more justified than the Pharisee." And the word justified means made right, means acquitted. Why? Because he humbled himself. You see, humility is needed for it not to become an act of self-righteousness. And that's why humility is so important in the character of a Christian. You have to do it out of humility, not out of being able to know what I get out of it. The right hand represents me with my good deed, and the left hand, me with the good opinion about what I've done. I like Mr. Linsky's explanation. The left hand and the right hand is that represents me with my good deed, and the left, my good opinion about what I've done. One doesn't have to know about the other. That's his point. As much as possible, a person must keep his voluntary contribution a secret not only to others, but even to himself. That is, he should forget about it instead of saying in his heart, what a good man or woman or boy or girl that I am. You do it and you forget about it. You don't dwell on it. You don't try to build yourself up as what a great thing you've done because you helped someone. You know what you have to do, brethren? You have to be thankful to God that you were able to help. That God blessed you enough in your life that you can have the good fortune of having the opportunity of helping someone who is down on their luck. And you ought to count it a privilege and an honor that you should be able to do it. And then you need to move on and forget about it. That's what God's talking about. And you know what? We all have the ability to do that. We don't have to dwell upon it. We don't have to build ourselves up on what great thing we've done. You know, it's like in Luke chapter 17:10. When I've done all the things that God commanded me to do, what am I? I'm an unprofitable servant. Why? I've done what was my duty to do. You know what? If I've been blessed with much, God expects much. If you don't believe that, study the parable of the talents. If you've been blessed more, then God expects more. That's just the way it works. It's always worked that way. The text says, when you do your alms, Jesus expects us to give up. You know, when I studied this, I kind of missed that the first time I read it. You know, it's not if, it's when. This is something that I'm going to do. This is something that I want to do. This should be something that I seek to do, that I have, as I have opportunity. So it's something that I don't try to not do, but it's something that I look for opportunities to do it. Do not sound the trumpet. Don't advertise it. Don't round up a crowd and crow about it. I don't need to tell anybody. Brethren, why do I need to tell anybody? You don't need to tell anybody. Because you know what? The only one that's important is the person you're helping and God. And God will give you credit for it. And that should be the only thing that you seek and you want. Is a God to understand that you're using your breast sleeve wisely. You know what God said in this text? They have the reward. Whatever was received, one has been paid in full. Nothing is owed by God. If you are seeking self-satisfaction and self-glory and adulation for what you did, that's all you're going to get. Nothing else is going to be forthcoming. Because God is not going to reward the hypocrite. He's not going to reward the self-righteous. And He's not going to put it on your ledger for good. Because your motive was incorrect. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, do I know that? No, I don't. But rest assured, God does. And that's the only one you got to be concerned about. God, not me, not what I think, not what somebody else thinks. You just have to be concerned about what God thinks about it. Let not the left hand know, no self-boasting of the deed, no self-praise. And we just talked about that with the publican and the Pharisee. Now, why? Why should we do that? Well, text tells us. Our Father sees in secret, He will reward you openly. God rewards in full measure only that which is due. Can the temporal praise of men dare compare to the praise of our Father in heaven? Now, let me ask you a very simple question. Would you rather have the praise of God for what you do in your charity or the praise of men? Well, that's a simple question, isn't it? I'd much rather get praise from God than from men, wouldn't you? Because you know why? One has a lot more lasting value than the other. Doesn't it? Doesn't praise to God, won't that be better for me than praise from men? I'd rather have one praise from God than have 100 praises from men. Because one is much more valuable than the other. A sincere desire to please God. The Lord's disciple is not concerned what others are aware of the good deed or not. Nor does he or she lift it up with self-righteousness. The Lord's disciple just wants to be an extension of God's love and His mercy. You know what that means? That means I want to do what I know my Father would do. I want to act in a way, and I want to respond in the way that my Father has responded to me. How many times has God helped me? How many times has God helped you when you were in need? And how many times did He help you when you got yourself in the fix to begin with? And yet He helped you. What does He want us to do? He wants us to be as giving to others as He is to us. Brethren, this is again something that you're not born with. This is something you must develop. You must develop this heart of mercy and compassion. And brethren, this world can make us very senile. It can make us very reluctant to help people because there are so many people that take advantage of your generosity. But brethren, don't let that blind your responsibility. Yes, there are people that will abuse your goodwill. Yes, there are people that will take advantage of you. Yes, there's people that will lie to you. Yes, there's people that will deceive you. And yet, there are people who, when it's all said and done, probably didn't deserve the charity that you gave them. But you know what? After you make the best judgment you can make, forget about it and go on. You did what you could do. You made the best judgment you could. You go on. And if they used you, if they misled you, if they deceived you, that will be taken up between them and God. You know that you did the right thing, you did it for the right reason, and you did it with the right heart. Brethren, that ought to be enough. That ought to be enough. The spirit which seeks publicity, or the spirit of self-righteousness, God will not accept. Not in any situation, not under any condition will God accept that. If it is done, Jesus condemns both. If you do it for publicity, so you other people can think what a great guy you are, a great girl you are, or if you do it to elevate yourself, then whatever you received, that's all you're going to get. Because it wasn't done with the proper attitude, and it wasn't done with the proper motive. And this has to do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Surely I say to you, they have the reward. This is true in your charity. We're going to see this is true in our prayer life. And it's also true when we fast. You know, one of the things, and I'll just tell you ahead of time, one of the things he took up with the people that fasted, they did an outward show of people think how great they were. They had disheveled hair. They had the ashen face. They were pale. They were starched. They were barely walking. They wanted people to see how pious they were. God said, that's all you're going to get. Because that's the wrong motive. Now, Jesus strikes at the heart of hypocrisy, brethren. That's what he's getting at. Pride that is misguided and a worldly attitude that causes the right thing to not be accepted by God. Ego, arrogance, self-righteousness, and judgmental, like the rich man or the Pharisee and the publican, that won't make it. That won't be accepted. That kind of attitude and that kind of character, God will not praise. God will not reward. But a person who is selfishness or has greed or is materialistic or worries to no end, that kind of person won't be blessed either. And we're going to see that as we go further along in Matthew chapter 6. You see, any of these things, this is worldliness and this is self-pride, and both of them God rejects. He won't accept either one. Pride and arrogance tempts us to seek the favor of man rather than the favor of God. The world can have a negative influence over our priorities and over our faith, and we'll discuss this later in the chapter. Either way, brethren, here's what I want you to remember. If you're guilty of either one of these things, you have forfeited any reward from God. If you don't remember anything else I told you today, you remember this last point. If you have either one of these attitudes in your charitable, benevolent deeds, then what you receive from man is all that you're going to get. Nothing's going to be forthcoming from God. Brother Earnhardt says, take thought. Whenever you are acting to relieve the needs of a deprived and unfortunate, and some self-satisfaction and snugness begins to creep over you, or a longing for others to know just how noble a person you are, listen. You will hear the sound of the trumpets blaring. If you listen very, very carefully, you will hear the trumpets blaring, and what you will know is that your motive is not what it ought to be. In closing tonight, charitable deeds and pride tempts us to act out of something less than we ought to. Jesus didn't die so we could seek the praises of men that we may be honored by men. That's not why Jesus died. And he didn't die so you could feel good about yourself and think about what a great person you are because of the charitable things that you do for other people. Jesus died that you may be reconciled to God and live with him forever. And let me ask you a question in closing. Would you forfeit the temporal instead for the eternal? Would you replace the praise, the adoration, and the homage of men for the good that you do to those that are less fortunate, so other people would think what a great person you are, where people would put you on a pedestal about how giving you are and how much you love those who are less fortunate? Would you rather have that, or would you rather have the secret satisfaction of knowing that your Father in heaven is going to bless you because your motive was pure, your attitude was right, and your desire to help was the only thing that motivated your action? Would you forfeit the eternal good that could be done for yourself and for that person by doing charitable deeds in an honorable way? Or would you rather have the temporary, self-glorying adoration of men? That's the decision you have to make. But brethren, we need to have the attitude that we should be thankful. We should be eternally thankful that God has blessed us in so many ways, that we are in the position that we can help people who are really in a position of need. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Ladies and gentlemen, never forfeit the eternal hope of glory that you have for the temporary satisfaction of the praise of men. That is a poor, poor exchange. You know, sometimes we can be very hard-hearted because of how the world abuses people with this kind of heart. And brother, you know what I'm talking about. You can really have the proper motive, the proper heart, and there are people that will take advantage of you. That will happen. I'm not even going to tell you it might happen. I'm going to tell you it will happen. But brethren, don't stereotype every situation that everybody is just trying to take you for what they can get. Because what will happen one day is that you'll have a legitimate need. And you'll have a legitimate opportunity to help. And you'll have a legitimate way to express your love and your thankfulness to God for the blessings that he's blessed you with your life. And don't let that go by because somebody in the past has taken advantage of your generosity. Brother, it's not if you do charitable deeds. It's when and it's how. That's what God's concerned about, is that we have the heart that he has demonstrated that he has towards us. Thank you for your kind attention, and we don't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity to render obedience to the gospel. Would ask if you'd like to, for next week, read about prayer. Prayer is an important part of our life, but do you understand that you can pray in such a way that your prayers go no higher than the ceiling? Even though you might pray in the right, with the right method, you might pray to the Father, you might pray for the Son, you might pray for the right things, but if your motive is wrong, if your attitude is wrong, then that prayer is ineffective. And we're going to talk about that in the next couple lessons about the effective prayer life. And then we're going to talk about what prayer should have. We're going to talk about the model prayer. We're not going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the Lord's teaching on how to pray. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, in the next few weeks. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we don't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity to obey the gospel. You know, you've heard this so many times from the pulpit here, from me and from others, that you know the steps as well as I do. Hear the word of God, to repent of your sin, to confess His name, and to submit to baptism in order to contact the blood of Christ. But most of you in the audience tonight, you've already done that. And these lessons are really directed at you, because they are teaching us as kingdom citizens what kind of conduct God expects from us in His kingdom. And if you're here and your conduct is not what God has expected or what God has demanded, you need to change it. And you need to line it up with the proper conduct that we have discussed in these lessons. And if you've done that between you and God, you take care of it between you and God. But if you've done it in a public way or you need strength and you need encouragement, we'll pray with you and for you that God will forgive you. The Lord is always ready to take those who have a tender heart. If we can help you tonight, we're here to do so as together we stand, as we sing. All right.